Welcome back to the Morning Skate here on 90.7 The Capstone, where I am joined by Taylor, Eric, and Kendall. I am Seth Juniak, the host here on 90.7 The Capstone, and to start off the show, we talked about Bama hockey, just kind of a wrap-up of the whole season brought, by Kendall and the crew on the other side here. Of course, I'm running the glass here, so, really just they kind of, what better way to start the hockey show with, the local stuff, and, it really is a fascinating, if you aren't already into Bama hockey, it really is something to, really get into, but, as we kind of get into the rest of it now, we'll start talking some NHL, and to kind of start, I thought we'd, just a kind of a fun way to kind of break the pace a little bit. I've assigned each of us a game from last night, and we'll just do a quick little recap of it, and we'll just see how this goes, and because NHL is going on, the season's in full swing, so starting with you, Kendall.
Well, let's start out with a game that really was never as close as a lot of people probably thought it would be in the third period. It was Edmonton and Boston, and Ben Scrivens gets the loss for Edmonton. A lot of people have heard that name over the past week or so. Very recently, he breaks an NHL shutout record with 59 saves in one game to get the win. But Boston really jumped on Edmonton last night. The first period, there's no score. In the second period, David Krejci gets his 12th of the season at 2:06 on the power play. And at that point, it was 1-0. And so I think a lot of fans probably thought that this game might sort of come down to the end. And then Boston just took all control of the hockey game in the third period. Dougie Hamilton with his 6th on the season at 6:43 in the third. Then at 13:05, Carl Soderberg gets his 8th and on the power play at 15:42. Torrey Krug with his 12th on the season. Again, Boston 4 and Edmonton 0 from last night.
And then kind of just go a little west to over to Montreal, where Tampa Bay is playing the Montreal Canadiens, and Nate Thompson scores both of Tampa's goals, one of which an overtime winner to propel the Lightning past the Canadiens. Ben Bishop gets his 26th win of the season. Lightning win 2-1.
Then in the next game in the lineup there, the Buffalo Sabres, they go into Colorado and find themselves on the back end of an absolute beatdown. Colorado puts up 7 on the board. They defeat the Buffalo Sabres 7-1. Marc-Andre Cliche getting his first NHL goal, always a big moment for any player when they score their first NHL goal. And Nathan MacKinnon getting 3 points on the night, 1 goal, 2 assists. He's been leading this Colorado team all year as a rookie. And Ryan Miller, after giving up 5 goals, was eventually pulled for Jonas Enroth.
And then in the next game, the Flyers were in L.A. playing the Kings, and Steve Mason of the Flyers had 35 saves and a shutout, while Jonathan Quick gave up 2 goals on 13 shots, which isn't exactly a stellar night. But Claude Giroux and Wayne Simmonds of the Flyers also tallied a goal and an assist in this game as the Flyers beat the Kings 2-0.
In the next game of the lineup from last night, Ottawa takes on Toronto. 9 total goals in this game, and we'll start it out in the first period. The 19:07 mark, Chris Neal gets his 7th on the season for Ottawa, who takes a 1-0 lead. They then take a 2-0 lead in the second period behind a Colin Greening goal, and then Toronto gets on the board back-to-back. It's Phil Kessel and Joffrey Lupul, and that will take us into the third period, and then the majority of the goals scored in the hockey game. There are 5 in the third period. Phil Kessel again gets his 2nd in that game on the power play at the 7:34 mark of the third period, and Chris Neal will strike for Ottawa to help them get back in the hockey game, but then Phil Kessel puts home his 30th of the season. If you've been keeping track, 28, 29, and 30. That is a hat trick in the game for Phil Kessel, and then Toronto adds a couple of insurance marks with Tyler Bozak getting his 11th and Nazem Kadri with his 15th. Toronto 6, Ottawa 3.
Take it to Columbus, where the Panthers get to play the Blue Jackets. Columbus really hot as of late, looking to keep it alive. They've won 7 of their last 10. Ryan Johansson scores his 22nd of the season, adds an assist, and the Blue Jackets cruise to a victory, 4-1 over the Panthers.
We go back to the Central Division here. The Nashville Predators in St. Louis taking on the Blues, and this game was close. Nashville finds themselves trailing early in the game. They manage to come back and even get a 3-2 lead, but St. Louis ties it up late with a goal by Vladimir Tarasenko. The game ultimately would go to a shootout, and Tarasenko once again getting the shootout winner. And a big key here for the Blues is they only took 1 penalty the entire night, so if you're going to stay that disciplined in a hockey game, you're going to win a lot of games, and the Blues have proven that so far this season.
Yeah, we'll take it to Phoenix, where the Penguins took on the Coyotes in what was the most disappointing game of the night for me as a Penguins fan.
The best game of the night, in my opinion.
But the Coyotes had a great all-around game with goals from Mike Ribeiro, Radim Verbata, and former Penguin Zbynek Mikhalik.
Zbynek.
And Mike Smith also tallied 23 saves, as he only gave up one goal in this game. And the Coyotes won this game 3-1 over the Penguins.
And we're going to continue here with our scoreboard update from around the National Hockey League from last night. The next game, Calgary and Minnesota. The Flames get an overtime victory over the Wild by a score of 4-3. And early on, it was Calgary 1-0 after one in the second period. A couple more goals scored. It's a shorthanded goal by Matt Cook for Minnesota to tie the game. And then Calgary gets another one. This time it's from Dennis Weidman, only his third of the season, 18:24 of the second period. And then all kinds of special teams goals in the third period. Calgary starts out with a shorthanded goal from Mikael Backlund. Danny Heatley gets Minnesota on the board with a power play goal. And then Keith Ballard ties the game up, and he gets his second of the season, 15:55 of the third. In overtime, it's Mikael Backlund striking again. He is the hero at 2:25 in the overtime period. Again, it is 4 for Calgary and 3 for Minnesota after that game with an overtime winner.
And if we go back over to the Western Conference here, the Anaheim Ducks hosting the Dallas Stars, and Dallas goes in there and gets a rare win. Dallas shutting out the Anaheim Ducks 2-0. And a key point here to make is the Anaheim Ducks have only lost 3 games now on home ice in regulation. So very tough to go out and win in Anaheim. Dan Ellis records a shutout for the Dallas Stars, and Trevor Daley getting the game-winning goal.
We'll go a little bit up the road to San Jose, where the Blackhawks took on the Sharks. And this was one of the best games last night, as there was two great goaltenders last night, Antti Niemi and Corey Crawford. Both only gave a one goal, Antti Niemi with 29 saves, as Crawford tallied 38. But Niemi got the last laugh as the Sharks won in a shootout, as the Sharks scored all 3 goals, but while only Jonathan Toews was able to put the puck in the net for the Blackhawks. So the Sharks won 2-1 in a shootout last night over the Blackhawks.
Yeah, and you definitely said that is an exciting game, especially because of the implication. Those are two teams that are looking, they're gearing up for the playoffs right now.
Very good team.
So, you know, with that, I thought that was fun. You know, you guys loosened up a little bit. You know, I think that works. I like how that sounds. So we'll kind of stick with the NHL grain a little bit, but not necessarily about the X's and O's. I kind of want to talk about a pseudo story, I guess, in the outdoor games. There's been a wealth of outdoor games this season, and I just kind of want to get a chance to talk about it because I think they really are exciting. You know, just man, nature, and, you know, some sticks and hitting some rubber in and a net and stuff. It's just fun. It's a good time. And, you know, it used to be the Winter Classic year after year, and now they're, you know, they're really expanding it, putting it in, you know, stadiums. So I just kind of want to open it up, just kind of open it up to discussion. I want this to be a really organic discussion about just the outdoor game. So starting with you, Taylor, just, you know, what do you like these outdoor games? Just, you know, talk about them. What do you think real quick?
Yeah, I like the outdoor games. I think it's a fun atmosphere. The players always talk about how much they love playing in these games. But if you ask me, I kind of think the NHL is watering down a really great product they had with the Winter Classic and almost annually as well with the Heritage Classic. And now, if you ask some of these players, they can't even keep track of who's playing who and what game's playing going on where. So they are a lot of fun to watch. They still draw my viewership. I still watch every single one of them. But I think the NHL should kind of go back to just doing the Winter Classic and the Heritage Classic. And that way, these teams are also getting the main viewership in that Winter Classic. And there's a lot of teams that want to host the game. And I think another issue the NHL's having here is they're bringing a lot of repeat teams in. And I know they haven't hosted before, but a lot of teams are getting to host, or not host, but get to play in the game again, while a lot of teams are still asking. And I think it's all kind of a financial situation for the NHL. But ultimately, outdoor games, too many.
Yeah, a lot of teams are asking for it. My own Phoenix Coyotes are one of them, and we'll get to that in a bit. How about you, Taylor? Or, I'm sorry, I just got Taylor. I'm reading you, Eric.
See, for me, it's all about the spectacle. It's growing up as a hockey player from Atlanta, never got to play outdoors, but I've always wanted to. And it just, the NHL is doing this because it brings in the fans, it brings in the money, brings in, usually hockey games have about maybe 25,000 at most at a game, but in some of these games we're getting 50,000-60,000 people in this game, and they played one at the Big House where there was, 105,000 people there or something like that, that's what it's about. It's about the scene. It's a great atmosphere. All the players love it, and I like it, too. I like seeing the Penguins play outdoors. It's fun.
Very, very true. That one at the Big House, they actually made it even further, and they actually announced the rosters for the U.S. Olympic team there, too. So it really is a, it's not just, you know, it's not just a game. It's, you know, it's a game for the sake of the game, if that makes sense. We'll round out with you, Kendall.
Well, I agree with these guys completely on their points. I think that I really like what Taylor had to say about, I worry with the NHL at this point maybe having too many games. This is the first time they've ever done a stadium series like this during a season where they have multiple outdoor games. Of course, as Taylor said, it used to just be the Winter Classic and the Heritage Classic. These events, not that old either. I mean, this is a tradition that just started a couple of years ago. But for me, when you can add really cool stuff in like that, you announce the U.S. rosters at the Winter Classic, and of course, there's not going to be an Olympic year every year. But maybe it would be almost a little bit too early, but announce the All-Star rosters maybe at the Winter Classic, something like that. Again, that would be a little bit too early in the season to do that, but maybe not. Because you're not going to have an Olympic break every year either. So whatever they can throw in there, I really liked seeing the Classic in Michigan Stadium this year. That was something unique. We've seen them play in places like Buffalo and football fields before, but Michigan was something really new to see. Over 105,000 people packed in there. It was really a great spectacle. And you know, these outdoor games, as a fan, you can look at them and see, again, it's something different. It's a good change of pace. All of a sudden, instead of going into an arena and you see sort of a controlled environment, you have no idea what you're going to get. You don't know what the temperature is going to be, whether it's going to snow, whether it's going to sleet. You have no idea what's going to happen. So I think it's a very good change of pace. I love that they do this. My only drawback is maybe they might have a couple too many, in my opinion, this season, but that's just my humble opinion on that.
Yeah, you're definitely right, both of you guys, about just the volume of it. You know, there's a diminishing return. You know, one outdoor game is like, wow, that's cool, it's special, it's the only one of the year. You know, two, oh, cool, if I miss the first one, I can watch the second one. But, you know, when you get six, I think that with one coming up in March, that is a little lot. Just kind of wrap up this segment a little bit, I do kind of want to look forward and, you know, kind of going with what the point Taylor was saying about a lot of teams want to host it. Just kind of which team do you have in mind, I guess, you know? Just we'll go one team. Give me one team that should host a Winter Classic upcoming.
Well, the one that I think is a matchup I've been wanting to see for a while is I want the Minnesota Wild to host the Dallas Stars. I think it would be a lot of fun to see Minnesota host the old Minnesota North Stars up north in Minnesota. It's going to be cold. You'll get that winter atmosphere, no doubt about that. And there's a brand new baseball stadium, Target Field, where the Minnesota Twins play, who would play great host to a Winter Classic game.
How about you, Tate? Eric, I messed up again, man.
Well, besides maybe getting a Bama hockey game at Bryant-Denny Stadium, I'll go with the Penguins here. They've had one at Heinz Field, but I'd like to see one at PNC Park, one of the better ballparks in the U.S., newly built, I think maybe 7-8 years ago. It'd be fun. It's a great ballpark, and I'd love to see a game there.
Kendall?
Correct me if I'm wrong here, guys, but I think that the 2015 Winter Classic has been announced to be hosted by the Washington Capitals next season. Now, I think the opponent is still up in the air. I don't think that's been officially announced. I would like to see the Carolina Hurricanes go up there. Those are two teams that, you know, longtime South Division rivals, and they really have had some great games over the past couple of years. Now, it's a little different in the Metro Division this year, but two Southeast Division rivals that have had a lot of things to say about each other in the past, and I know that you know, we're talking about getting different teams involved. Again, Washington has been involved before, but, you know, those are two pretty close teams geographically, and I wouldn't mind seeing the Carolina Hurricanes give it a shot up there in Washington.
That's an interesting one. My own pick, personally, I align more with what Taylor said. I actually wrote down Minnesota. They love hockey up there. It's kind of, you know, that's just something I think would be a good spectacle. But, you know, in interest of being different, I think the Phoenix Coyotes should host the Winnipeg Jets. Just because, you know, much like the North Stars with Minnesota, this is a, you know, the former Winnipeg Jets playing the now Winnipeg Jets. It could be interesting. And also, you know, in the not so cold Arizona, it could be a fun, they showed that they can do it with the LA Dodgers stadium one, but you have something, Eric?
Could we maybe get the Winnipeg Jets to play one in Atlanta? That'd be pretty fun, right?
I guess Atlanta should get a team first. Well, that'll wrap up our segment. Just for now. On the other side, we'll keep talking about the NHL. Just kind of start getting our conference dissections a little bit. You know, the playoff pictures are starting to kind of form themselves. We're past the halfway mark. You know, no All-Star break yet because of the Olympic break. But we'll get to that later. But again, you know, just stick tuned with us because at the end we'll be rebroadcasting UCF versus Alabama, that broadcast from last night. Keep it tuned here to 90.7 The Capstone, and you're listening to The Morning Skate.